This is my last Sunday. Sorry, I haven't turned myself on. This is my last Sunday. There we go. This is my last Sunday at Kingsway Lambton United Church as your intern minister. My term ends on Tuesday, and I've accepted a call at Lawrence Park Community Church, a church I believe is well known to many of you. I'll be starting there in June. So today I come to you as one profoundly grateful for my time here. I could not have asked for a more rewarding internship. And it's been a delight to get to know so many of you. 8 months ago, I arrived at a time when this congregation was feeling a mixture of trepidation, excitement, and sadness. Steve Prime had just passed away in July. I met Steve once, thanks to our mutual friend, Anita Turcotte, and I can honestly say that I felt Steve's presence the entire time I was here. He sounds like a kindred spirit, and I often felt your sadness that he had passed. I wish I had had the chance to get to know him too. But when I arrived here, there was also a sense of excitement. The Fresh Start service was ready to begin its first full year after a pilot period in May, and I was tapped to be its first presiding minister until December. It was really a pig and a poke kind of arrangement. Nobody knew if this new guy would have what it takes to start up a new service or help it grow, and I now know that this was just one iteration of many experiments that have been tried over the years here at Kingsway Lambton. Some of you may have doubted that this was going to work, since other experiments hadn't entirely succeeded. And for my part, too, I came with a mixture of excitement and some doubt. In seminary, I had studied ways of doing innovative ministry and worship, and when I was sent here, I was thrilled by the prospect of being able to take those ideas and apply them in a real church context. However, I was also a bit worried that this might not work. 45 minutes, you know, for a church service is really short. And meeting at 8:30 in the morning sounded just downright psychotic. Would anyone show up? You know, did I have to show up? 8:30 in the morning. I was especially doubtful about the Fresh Start Committee's insistence that people in the pews be given a chance to discuss the sermons during the service. You know, not in the safety of coffee hour where the minister can't hear, right? But right there during the service. I had never seen that done before, and it seemed like a chunk of time that might have been better served keeping other elements, such as lighting the Christ candle or having more prayers. After a month or so, my doubts started to fade away. Fresh Start has proven to be a great success, with a regular membership of around 50 people each week. That number, of course, is a fraction of the number which attends here on Sundays at 10. But, you know, 50's a good deal larger than a lot of established churches have going in their only service now. Fresh Start has grown steadily and has achieved two of its principal aims: to bring back lapsed members and to bring in new people who have never even been to Kingsway Lambton. There are many people who now credit the Fresh Start service for being the reason they've come back to church. And that's a great gift, and it's one which this congregation, the 10 o'clock congregation, should take credit for. It was your vision and willingness to take a chance that made Fresh Start possible. So on behalf of all the people who have attended Fresh Start, thank you. I'm aware that for some of you, this news is accompanied by some doubts. Numerous people have told me over the last few months that there's some concern that maybe Fresh Start was growing because the 10 o'clock service was shrinking. We were just begging Peter to pay Paul. After all, aren't many of the people who attend Fresh Start former attenders of the 10 o'clock service? Perhaps what Fresh Start is achieving is a general weakening of the church rather than its reinvigoration. Well, from what I have seen, many of the people who attend Fresh Start are people who had stopped coming to the 10 o'clock service for whatever reason. This is also borne out by our survey data. People who have wandered off or rarely attended have returned and are now feeling at home at Kingsway Lambton again. This is surely a victory for the entire church. While other churches are losing members at an ever-quickening rate, we've found a way to bring some of ours back, We've also attracted new congregants who have never attended this church. This is good news and stands in stark contrast to what is happening to churches all over the country. This graph shows church attendance in Canada from 1946, where it was almost 70%, to now, in 2015, where it hovers around 13%. These are people that go to church every week. So church used to be totally normal, and now it is a very exceptional activity. All denominations are seeing a general decline in attendance to the lowest rate in 100 years. The Catholic and evangelical churches haven't seen quite as steep a drop, although they are declining, certainly the Catholics. They get a little bit of a bump from the fact that immigrants often come from Catholic countries. So when they arrive here, they go to a Catholic church. Unfortunately, outside of the Bahamas, people outside of Canada don't really know much about the United Church, so we don't get that kind of bump. But everywhere, the numbers are down from even 10 years ago. We're down to just 13% of all Canadians attending church weekly. The biggest decline has been among people under the age of 60. Many of them last attended church as children, or not at all. For these people, many of the aspects which we love most about our worship services are actually a barrier or even a turnoff. We derive comfort from singing and reciting words which we know have been said out loud and sung with great praise for hundreds of years. We find comfort in that. We feel connected to our faith all through the centuries back to Christ. That is great solace and inspiration for us. However, for many people in the younger generations, what we find comforting just sounds old-fashioned and maybe even authoritarian. They're not seeing or feeling what we experience here. Faced by our declining numbers, many of my colleagues are thinking outside the box, quite literally. Some ministers are convinced that the era of Christians meeting in church buildings is actually over, so they're seeking to do more community service, to take faith to the streets. Others are putting their emphasis on greetings like this, house churches, where people meet in small groups to celebrate God's presence in a more intimate way. Others seek to worship in coffee shops or in auditoriums. The church space itself is seen as too old-fashioned and forbidding for those raised outside of church. Now, you may bristle at this idea. How could we think of giving this up? So much splendor and tradition in this kind of church space. Why would anyone want to close down a church to hold small services in a house or a coffee shop? Like Doubting Thomas, we may just want to hang on to what we know, to keep worship in line with what we see with our own eyes each week. This is what we're familiar with, and we have a hard time imagining anything else. That, of course, is human nature. Thomas would only believe Jesus was back if Christ looked exactly like he remembered him when he last saw him. Through sheer force of habit, we may, like Thomas, want to think that this kind of church is the only future that can be brought. But it's at this point that, as Christians, we really need to ask ourselves what we're about. Are we trying to preserve church as an activity, or are we trying to help people who are found by Jesus? So church's community is a thing in itself, or finding Jesus. For a long time, we've assumed that these two things go together naturally. There was no problem. We didn't have to separate them out in our heads. But at this particular point in history, for many people, that's not true anymore. This kind of church experience, which is so wonderful for us, is proving to be a barrier for many young people to have a relationship with Christ. So we have a choice to make. Do we hang on to the church experience as we know it and promote just this kind of church experience? Or do we say, you know, church is a means to an end, and that the end that really matters is a relationship with Christ? In our scriptural text today, Christ welcomes Thomas, but advises that faith is more than you can just touch or feel. True faith, stronger faith, relies on following Jesus even when you can't see him. when belief, not empirical evidence, is your guide. If we decide that as followers of Jesus, first and foremost, that we are followers of Jesus, first and foremost, then I think we will have the strength we need to go on. We'll be able to accept that even if this form of worship service shrinks some in size and popularity, Jesus will not give up on finding followers in other ways. In the years to come, it may be Fresh Start, or maybe the Wednesday night worship, or some kind of service we haven't even dreamt up yet, which grows the most. Being surprised is part of being a Christian. In Christ's time, who could have predicted that this small, tiny little group of rebels would eventually have a faith that would take over the entire Roman Empire? Christians did that. There's now 2 billion Christians on this planet, and they're found all over the world. And who could have believed that a fire at a church in a city where half of all people claim that they're not religious would cause the whole city, Paris, to unite, to gather around that burning church and instantly pledge the money it needed to be rebuilt? France is not a terribly religious country anymore. People sometimes forget this. About half of French people say that they're not into religion at all. And yet, look what that fire did. We don't worship church, we worship Christ. We have confidence that Christ is the fisher of men and women. We believe that Christ will keep chasing us, that Christ will keep asking humanity to wake up from its slumber of sin and selfishness and apathy. It's not our job to force people to worship like we do. It's our job to help people who have heard Christ's whisperings. And that means we're not called to act like doubting Thomas, but to act like Christ. That means welcoming new people when they arrive. We need to let them stick their fingers into our sides to probe this church and faith thing. We need to let them into our faith, into our community, as the starting point of their faith journey. Our calling is not to promote church, but to help people have a relationship with Jesus. And as we know from our own lives, faith in Jesus can turn even the most selfish and inward pointing people into people who embrace others. This is strong stuff, strong medicine, as indigenous people would put it. Jesus has changed each one of us, and it's our job to just, as he brings people our way, to help them. Yesterday, there were a lot of poking and prodding fingers here. All week long, the flea market had attracted dozens and dozens of volunteers who only come to church to help sort and organize the tons of goods that have been dropped off here. Since I'm new here, I had not seen most of these faces who were here during the week doing all the organizing and the sorting. And I was told over and over again, oh, I only come for flea market. I'm here every year for a few days, a few hours. Some people take their vacation. They take a vacation week just so they can be here for flea market. That's amazing. And that's these people poking their way into church. And yesterday, when the doors opened and hundreds of people started to flood into the church, they came with eager poking fingers. Many came just for a good deal, of course. But others found something more than what they were looking for. A hint of what Christ-like generosity looks like. Not just in the good prices, but also in the way they were treated by our small army of volunteers. Yesterday, Nora Cutcliffe and others kept their ears open for good stories about our guests yesterday, and I'd like to share some of them with you now. One of our volunteers told me that he'd met a Muslim who had come to the sale, their first time in a church. They were having coffee, I think, in the kitchen. And she said she was surprised to discover that Christians could be so friendly. Another woman marveled at how much time she was allowed to spend in the jewelry section. She didn't have much money to spend, but the volunteers took their time showing her every piece she wanted to try on. She said, and I quote, "I felt like it was okay to take my time, even if I'm only spending a few dollars. And even if I'm old, I'll still buy something, even if I don't need it. Your people are very nice, and they're not thinking that I've already got too much of this kind of thing." An older gentleman, the lineup at 7:45, remembered how the volunteers had treated him last year. He recalled being helped by a volunteer in menswear, who rushed around the room finding sizes for shoes and shirts that would fit him. And he told Nora, "You have incredible volunteers who are pleasant and helpful, so I might have to start coming to this church, although I'm afraid of what penance I might be given in order to qualify." Personally, I was impressed by how many charities came to shop here. I was working in menswear. Pat Butler didn't give me much choice. And I helped a downtown Presbyterian church pack 10 large bags of clothing, which will be distributed on Monday nights. Every Monday night, they open their doors to people downtown. They're near Young and Bloor. And people come in, usually about 200 people a night, to find clothes. They took about 10 of those large green bags from us yesterday, and this week there may be people who are homeless and underhoused walking the streets of downtown Toronto with clothes that we had in this building yesterday. Other shoppers included a woman who comes each year to select books for the prison where she works. And she has to be careful to make sure that the books don't have any staples in them, because they could be a safety risk. Yesterday, another woman came looking for china. She needed it for an organization that helps young mothers in need, some of whom who are pregnant and living in shelters during their pregnancy. The reason she needed the china was that they wanted to have a special Mother's Day tea with the good stuff and treat these young women while they were pregnant and just after they had given birth. At the end of the sale, Nora encountered an older Polish man who was in the kitchen having coffee. He said that every shopper who came through here yesterday knew subconsciously that all these extraordinarily well-organized tables and shelves, all of this had been done by volunteers who had put their heart and soul into the work. And he said, and I quote, "It may seem like an uneventful church sale, but this sale is actually very eventful. It acts as a beacon of true Christian nature and the spirit of human goodwill, which, if it comes together at one time and place, has enormous power. It looks like the people who run the church carry this energy themselves, or else this work is not possible. Let it be here forever." Unquote. The flea market has been bringing people here for over 50 years, providing a regular reminder of what Christ looks like in this community. With luck, at least some will have been touched by the Holy Spirit as it flowed through us into them. Some may even decide to come back today or sometime in the future. They will find a church that has opened itself to prodding fingers. Let us welcome them warmly, to be Christ's ambassadors as they walk in these doors. Let us help them find the place where they can start, whether it's at Fresh Start, here at 10 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday worship, Bible study, whatever works for them. Christ welcomed all who came to see the good news of his resurrected body, those who believed with their fingers, because that's where they were at, and those who could believe with their hearts alone. If we've chosen to be loyal followers of Christ, this church will survive, even if the way we worship changes. And of that, I have no doubt. Amen.